are you doing? Is there anybody else that wants to come in from out back there? We're so glad that you're here this morning. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Please stand now if you can, and we're going to sing Today is the Day.
Thank you. Of your goodness, Lord, and your power and your mercy, Lord. And it's because of what you did on the cross, Lord, that we can declare that song, we can shout that song to the heavens, Lord. That one day we will reign forever, Lord, with you, all because of what you've done, Lord. We pray that as we continue on in worship, Lord, you would open our hearts, Lord, to receive your message, Lord, to receive your grace. We ask that we would know you closer and better.
All I want to tell you. Amen. Knowing the Lord, there is no greater thing. Would you please be seated? I want to take time now to lift up some prayer requests from people from our church. Before I do that, I want to read the list. Write these down. Be in prayer this week for somebody from our church. You can be in prayer this week for the prayer request of Herman Alberts. His wife, Linda, has been in Pinsburg Manor. He wants to first off say thank you very much for those who have visited with her and sent cards. They're much appreciated. She enjoys those. But he also just asks that you continually pray for her health. Once again, praying for Linda Alberts for her health. Julie Korchowski would like for you to pray for her uncle, David. He was in the ICU last night in critical condition with no update this morning. Just prayers, though, for David and his health. A prayer request from Rebecca Kalik. Just prayers for those who are currently in prison. If you could pray for those who are currently experiencing imprisonment. For Peg Kidon, has a prayer request for her friend, Justin. Justin is dealing with an infection right now. Just prayers for Justin and for healing for him. For Wendy Salzer's family, her friend Pam is having knee surgery. Just prayers for Pam and her knee surgery. And lastly here, one from Celeste Bish for her friend Amanda. Amanda is a new mother dealing with depression right now. Just prayers for her mental health. That would be appreciated. I want to pray for these people now. Would you please bow your heads and pray with me? And gracious Lord, we do thank you for this morning, for the ability to gather here worshiping you. We pray for Linda right now and for David, for Justin, Lord, and for Pam and for Amanda, all dealing with individual health issues. Father, I pray that you would be with these people. You are the great physician. Father, I pray for healing for them. I ask, lift up to you now, Lord, those who are in prison, that you would be with them as well, that they, from whatever circumstances brought them there, Father, if they don't know you yet as their Lord and Savior, that they would come to know you as a result of their current imprisonment. And Father, I pray for this morning that we would know you as a result of being here, that we could grow closer to you through the study of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, boys and girls, it's time for our kids' next is the Good News Mystery Box. If you can look at the screens, we're going to have the Good News Mystery Box. Hey, good morning, boys and girls. Welcome back, Shepherd of the Hills. In case you can't tell, guys, I'm on a submarine. This is so cool. And on the way in, I happened to notice it was a yellow submarine. I think I'm gonna live here. You guys could come too. We could all live on a yellow submarine. Well, actually, that sounds like a better song. Yeah, I probably shouldn't do that. Well, anyways, I have the other people who are here with me. They gave up all their seats and are standing over there so that I can film a mystery box. Hi, people. Well, hopefully you're having a good day. I have my mystery box here. I want to tell the people about Jesus. So, hopefully you send me something really good in here that will help me share the message about Christ. Let's visit our mystery box today. Oh. Interesting. This looks like an old toy again. It says a ViewMaster three-dimensional viewer. Oh, okay. I don't know if you guys ever seen one of these toys. They're really cool. So, you look like this. Whoa! Wow. Hey, boys and girls, do you see that? Wait, you guys don't see that? Oh, only I can see that. So I'm looking at this, guys, and it's telling the story of Jesus' birth. That's really cool. It has little figurines, and there's Mary, and she's on a donkey, and she's traveling to Bethlehem, and there's no room for her at the inn. Boys and girls, this toy is really cool because it tells us the story about Jesus' birth. So you take this little thing here, and there's little pictures on it, and you put it in there, and it tells the story. Now, this one happens to be talking about Jesus. This is a really cool toy. You could really use this to tell people about Christ. Now, I hope you look around at some of your toys, and maybe around Christmas time, you might have some toys like this that have the nativity, that talk about Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth was amazing, that he was born from the Virgin Mary, that it was prophesied that he would have to be born in Bethlehem. I mean, these are things that happened in the birth story that we read about in the books of Matthew and Luke. That's just really fascinating. So I want to encourage you guys, especially around Christmas time, with Christmas coming up, to be thinking about Christ and about that the fact that he came and was born, that he lived a perfect life, and that he died for you and for me. So with that in mind, let's pray.
And Grace, Lord, I'm thankful once again for these cool toys. I'm thankful for this toy especially as it shows literally the birth of your son. It has pictures, depictions of how he was born. I pray, Lord, that as we are preparing to come into the Christmas season, as December is almost upon us, that you would watch over these kids, that they would come to know you better, Lord, that they'd remember that Christmas isn't about getting new toys, but, Father, that it's about the gift that you gave, Jesus Christ, your own son. Thank you for Jesus, Lord. Amen. All right, well, I hope you guys are having a great time. I'm going to go back to my submarine tour. You guys take care and have a great week. God bless.
All right, well, the kids are dismissed right now to go back to Children's Church. And if you're here with me this morning, I would encourage you to grab a Bible in front of you. Hopefully you brought one. And open up to Psalm 91. Before we get to our sermon, though, we have some announcements of things that are going on. I'm not going to read the whole bulletin for you, but I want to hit some of the highlights, things that are happening soon or that you should be aware of that are coming up. First off, there is a verse-by-verse teaching happening on Wednesday night, our verse-by-verse service is returning this Wednesday. Pastor Colin was on vacation and I believe is driving back right now. And by believe, I mean I hope he has. I don't know where he is right now. My GPS tracker failed on me. I can't actually watch him. I didn't really have one. I'm kidding. But no, Pastor Colin's on his way back. He should be back sometime this week. I believe Monday, Tuesday he'll be in. And that's going to be great to have a verse-by-verse back. On Friday, we're having a ladies' bonfire. Saturday, the men's ministry doing a tailgate. Mark those. Be there for those. I want you to be aware as well on November 5th. This is the first time we're talking about this. We're doing a family worship night. So I want to encourage you, if you have a family or if you're by yourself, we're all gathering together as one to worship. So if you have kids who are able to read, we would encourage them to come in and worship with us in the sanctuary. It's a great time to be together as one body, worshiping the Lord together on Saturday, November 5th at 6:30. Now, if you have kids who are, apparently we're leaving, if you have kids right now who are younger, who are 3 years old, who aren't reading yet, or 4 years old, we will have childcare available because those kids, let's be honest, when you're with worship, you're really just trying to hold a kid and keep them in with you so they're not throwing things up or throwing up themselves or running away. But yeah, we want you to be here family night. That would be great. I also want to make you aware we are doing, once again, the Friends for Life is doing a hoagie sale for Election Day. So on Election Day, if you want to pre-order, you can get your hoagies. You can sign up for that online or at the welcome desk. And we have one more announcement here, but it's not from me. It's from Bill Wilkins. It is a video regarding the Operation Christmas Child.
Good morning, everybody at Shepherd the Hills. This is Bill Wilkins. I'm an elder at the church. I'm also the coordinator for Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes, which is what I'm holding right here. And yes, it's that time of year again, folks. It's a time of the year that we get to show and share the blessings that God has given us with children around the world. Genesis 12, 1-3 says, I will make your name great and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is what he told Abraham. He also told us to spread the good news to the world. Matthew 28, 19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And thirdly, faith without works is dead. From James 2, 26, as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. We at Shepherd of the Hills have an opportunity to accomplish all three of these items and do God's work in the process. Here's your chance to be a missionary. Have we pick up a few shoeboxes, fill them with gifts for a child, and even put a personal message in the box. You pick what gender and age range to buy, for example, a boy 2 to 4 years old. Take your children and grandchildren with you and let them help pick out gifts. Special gifts include toothbrushes, pencils, and crayons. You can go online at Samaritan's Purse to get a list of items to buy and not to buy. In each shoebox is a label. And if you're tech savvy, there's a QR code there that you can scan, and it helps you. That's where you can pay your $10 for the shipping of this box, and then you put this label on, and you choose whether it's a boy or a girl in the age. So it's real simple. We have the labels for you. Make it simple for you. Bring the boxes back to Shepherd of the Hills between November 13th and the 21st. Samaritan's Purse delivers around 10 million shoeboxes a year all over the world. Since 1993, over 198 million, that's 198 million shoeboxes, have been delivered around the world. Think of the good news being spread to children. Last year, we here at Shepherd of Hills gave 300 boxes. So here's my challenge to you. I'm challenging you with a goal of 350 boxes this year. May God bless you and Shepherd of the Hills during this campaign.
So as you came in, if you did see the shoeboxes over there, I would encourage you to grab one or two of those. Fill them up with toys for kids who might otherwise not get a gift for Christmas. If you are worried about doing the QR code, if you need help with that, please come to the church. We'd be happy to help you figure that out. But we're going to be in the book of Psalm today, Psalm 91. And at the very beginning here, I want you to be thinking. I want you to think about your favorite food to eat. What's your favorite meal? Can you picture that meal? Can you smell it? When you smell it, can you taste it? When I was a kid, my favorite food to eat was spaghetti. I like just plain spaghetti. Maybe some butter on top, just a little bit, not a lot. Just a little bit of butter, a lot of salt, no Parmesan cheese, no sauce. And on the side, I like to have a nice piece of bread, well toasted with butter. That's what I liked when I was a child for my favorite meal. Now, I've gotten a little older now. I like a nice steak. If you ever want to invite me over for steak, we can have steak anytime you guys want. Steak is good. But you can think about your favorite foods, and you can smell them, you can taste them. They're so, like, pointy. They're right there on your tongue. You know what they are. I want you to think back to the meal that you had last Saturday. Not yesterday, last Saturday. Can you think of it? Can you think about what you had 3 days ago on Thursday? What did you have last night? See, the reality is what you had last night, you might remember it now, but next week you're not going to remember it again. And that's the same thing with almost every meal that you have. Unless there is something really special about it, it's going to be forgotten. But I guarantee you that meal was very important because it gave you sustenance and it gave you the ability to continue living your life. Now, in the same way, when we look at sermons in the Bible, can you think of any really great sermons that you've heard? I can think of one or two from my time in high school. That's it. I went to church every week, and I can only think of a couple of sermons I remember hearing. You're not going to remember every sermon that you hear. But the point I want you to take away is, it is giving you spiritual life. You need sermons. You also need to learn how to cook at home and have sermons at home. You need to learn how to study your Bible and the importance of having a relationship with the Lord. That's what we're talking about today, is the importance of having a relationship with the Lord. Now, last week, if you were here last week, we looked at Psalm 90. Psalm 90 was all about the believer who walked away from God. It was written by Moses to the Israelite nation who was wandering in the wilderness as a result of their lack of faith. That was Psalm 90. Now, Psalm 91, we do not know who the author is. No one claims authorship. Some speculate it was Moses, some speculate it was David. The reality is we don't know. We don't know who the author was, we don't know who it was written to, but we do know the content, why it was written. So we're going to begin that today. Psalm 91 in verses 1 and 2, and it says this, that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The very first thing it talks about is dwelling. Now, there are some who say this is Moses because Moses in Psalm 90 also talked about dwelling. The Israelites in Psalm 90 recognized that their dwelling place was the Lord. That even though they were nomadic people up until that point, that God was always their dwelling place. But the Psalm 91 here goes one step further. It says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, I have little children who my wife and I, when we go on walks, they'll hold our hands and like to run around. They're kids. But one game that they like to play is when we're walking, if they see our shadows, they'll jump on them. And they'll run, and they'll jump on them. And they'll run, and they'll jump on them. Do you know how close my kids have to get to me to jump on my shadow? Really close. Like, scary close, like, you're going to break my ankle. Don't jump so close to me. But the idea here of abiding in the shadow of the Almighty, do you know how close you need to be to the Lord to abide in him? You need to be, like, right there. So it's important to recognize our dwelling place is the Lord, but we need to be abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. We will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. this close relationship with God, the benefits that come from that are of knowing God in a personal way. There are four names or titles used in the first two verses here of Psalm 91. It says here that God is the Most High, that He is the Almighty, that He is the Lord, and that He is my God. That goes from a big scope down to a small scope. It starts off with the Most High. There is no one greater than God. He is the Almighty. He is Yahweh, the Lord. He is my God. Do you recognize today that God is big and powerful and knows you and that He is your God? See, Psalm 91 is all about recognizing and understanding what it means to be a follower of the one true God of Yahweh. So we continue reading on here in verse 3. It says, "For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And He will cover you with pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." The imagery here is one of a bird trapper. And if the imagery is one of a bird trapper, that means you are the bird. Not only are you a bird, you are a defenseless bird, a helpless bird, one who has been lured in and trapped. You were trapped in your sins. You were dead in your trespasses. But it says here, He will deliver you from that snare. Have you been delivered this morning from your sins? Now, who is the fowler? There are two possibilities of who this person is who is attempting to snare believers. One is wicked men. David writes about these wicked men in Psalm 140, where he says, "Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned a trap for my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me. With cords they have spread a net. Beside the way they have set snares for me." How do you know who it is that has set a trap for you? How do you know where these snares are? You know this by the person's relationship with the Lord. If you have let people into your life who are not believers, I would encourage you to do that. By all means, speak with non-believers. Share the gospel message. The only people who need to hear it are unbelievers. They need to hear that gospel message. But don't allow them to have a sphere of influence in your life. Psalm 1, it says this, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is upon the law of the Lord, and upon that law he shall meditate day and night." The idea here being that if you are living a Christian life, if you are abiding with the Lord, you need to be careful that there are those who do not want you to abide in that shade. They do not want you with the Lord. They want to draw you away from God. So be on guard. Do not allow these people to have counsel in your life. The other possibility for who the fowler is here is the devil. An obvious answer. The deceiver, the one who works his wicked schemes in secret, who sets traps to draw away believers. We'll look more at him later on in the sermon here as God deals with him. But it says here that he will cover you with pinions, and under his wings you shall find refuge. So not only are you a helpless bird, but the Lord takes on the image of a bird too. But a bird that is not helpless. Before I became a pastor here at Shepherd of the Hills, I was working through the Berks County Intermediate Unit, and I was actually an interpreter for the deaf and hard of hearing. That's what I used to do. I enjoyed working at it, and my favorite position that I had, I worked in a number of different schools. I really liked working in the high school. I greatly enjoyed working at Reading High School. The kids there were great. I had a great staff I was working with. There were 5 interpreters and 1 teacher. Now, the one year in January, one of the teachers pulled up this webcam video of a bald eagle nest. So they had this bald eagle nest, and it started off with just the eggs. There were 2 little eggs in that nest. And as time went on, eventually, they hatched. And you know what was in there? Some of the ugliest birds I've ever seen in my life. Bald eagles, majestic animal. When they're flying, gorgeous. Babies are not as pretty. They weren't very beautiful birds. But what was amazing, though, is that when there were storms, the mother would actually bring them close and cover with the wings. When they needed something, the mother was the only one, and the father, were the only ones who could protect that child. And the imagery here we're given is of God spreading his wings over us, protecting us. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, man, I mean, the wings of a bird aren't very strong. Well, what do you think about a shield or a buckler? A buckler meaning a fortress, that God completely surrounds those who follow after him. A hedge of protection around those who call on his name. So we understand here the need for personal faith in the Lord. We also understand that the Lord cares for his people in a very intimate and loving way. We continue reading on in verse 5. It says this, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." Now the youth group on Wednesday nights, if you don't know, I'm the youth pastor here. I work with our youth. We've been going through a series on fear, looking at fear and its effect on your faith, and how fear is basically the opposite of faith. If you are living a life of fear, then you are not living a life in faith. Now it says here that you will not fear. Think back. Have you ever been afraid in your life? I know for a fact that I have. I've shared before in a sermon that I'm slightly claustrophobic. I don't enjoy tight spaces. That's one of the main reasons I don't like Pottstown Hospital. If you've ever been there, they have an elevator in there that, I kid you not, it's meant for like two people. You get in there and it's like this. I hate it. Every time I go in there, I don't like tight spaces. What happens is there's a physiological response. My brain recognizes something's going on. My mind processes it as this is a potential harm for me. And as a result, my heart rate's kicked up and I get anxious. See, fear is normal. It's natural. You will fear. But look what it says here. One of the times you will not fear. You will not fear the terror of the night. Have you ever been outside at night? Have you ever been in the wilderness at night? You hear something, you're not quite sure what it was. There's a little bit of anxiety there, a little fear. But it says here, you will not fear that terror, nor the arrows that fly by day. If there is ever a time to be afraid, it is when arrows are flying at you. If you're ever in that situation, I think you've made a mistake somehow. We live in a society, we don't use arrows that often. You shouldn't have this happening. But it says here that you will not fear the terror of the night, the arrows in the day, the pestilence, nor the destruction. Four different times it says here, you will not fear these things. Why is that? It's because you know God is your personal Savior. We read this in 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you. The word peace is used in the New Testament 91 times. And every time that it is used, it is a direct result of faith in the Lord. We receive peace in our lives directly as a result of our faith in God. We do not fear calamity because we recognize that God is in control. Now, I have struggled with that idea in life, that God is in control, understanding how exactly it all works. I don't understand the sovereignty of God. I don't fully grasp how it is that bad things can still happen when a God who is sovereign and in control. But what I do recognize is that the Lord loves me. I do recognize that sin is not what God had originally intended for his creation. That sin has permeated the world, and as a result of that, bad things still do happen. Now, if the end goal of your life, if what you desire above all else is wealth and prosperity, more items, more money, bigger things, newer cars, newer houses, a longer life itself, you will never have peace in your life because there will always be the fear of loss. There will always be the possibility that you will not live as long as you wanted to, that you will not earn as much money as you could, that you will have a smaller house, that your car will not be as nice as you wanted it to be. There's always that fear of loss. However, when the end goal of your life is loving others because God has loved you, you have no fear of loss. You recognize that in whatever position you are in, whatever situation you are going through, that God has placed you in that position, that God is watching over you to accomplish that task. Do we see here the impossible odds? It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. As long as God has you on this earth, he has a plan for your life. He has something that he wants you to do. We all have the general call of the Lord to share him with others. But God has a specific call in your life, something that he wants you to do, that he is protecting you from evil in order for you to accomplish his goals. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1:8. This is Paul talking about some impossible odds. He said, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises from the dead." This is the result of God's care, of understanding and trusting in the Lord. You have a dependence on him when things are challenging, when there are trials in life, you can trust that God is there with you. We continue reading on here in verse 8, and I like the comparison in verse 8. It says that you will only look with your eyes, and you will see the recompense of the wicked. The word recompense here, meaning reward. What is it that the wicked receive as a result of their actions? The reality is money, wealth, fame, fortune, power, influence. George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, Johnny Depp, all self-proclaiming atheists. They don't believe in God or that God has an influence in their lives. These people would say that God doesn't have anything to do with who they are. And as a result of that, they have made their life's dream what they want to do. For them, it was acting, and they used that as a means with which to acquire wealth and fortune and fame and power. That's not our goal. That's not our desire. That's not what we should be looking for. See, because when they, as I said before, when you acquire more things, you have more things to lose. When you recognize that your life is not even your own, you have nothing to lose. I want to encourage you, the wicked will not experience the peace that God offers because there's always the fear of loss. It says about this in verse 9, for the righteous, but you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High. Who is my refuge? No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. There's a famous preacher in the 1800s by the name of Charles Spurgeon. You might have heard of him before. Unfortunately, I don't know what they were doing. They didn't live stream any of his videos. They don't have any of his recordings. But they have a lot of his sermons that are written down. So Charles Spurgeon lived in the 1800s. And he actually had a time of struggle in his faith. See, he was in London and they were having a cholera outbreak. And people from his church were dying. He would go to one house and visit with someone who was sick. And he would leave and that person would die. And he would go to another house and visit that person who was sick. And he would leave and that person would die. And he started questioning, God, where are you? What's going on? And instead he left a funeral one time that he had just presided over. And the person he knew very closely, and they had died, and he was walking back to his church, and he happened to look up, and he looked in the window of a shoemaker, and in the window he read the verse, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place the Most High, no evil shall befall you, no plague shall come near your tent. And he said this, that I went on with my visitations of the dying in a calm and peaceful spirit. I felt no fear of evil. I suffered no harm. And he said this, what is death when faced with miraculous power of a loving God? The understanding that if you have placed your faith in the Lord this morning, that even death has no power over you. So this psalm was written for us to understand the need for a personal relationship with the Lord. We understand that the Lord cares for us in the same way that a mother cares for her child. We understand the result of this care, and here is the means of this care. We continue reading on. In verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. God has commanded angels to guard you. What does that mean? What does that look like? I do not know. I have never seen a demon. I have never seen an angel. Are these angels repelling demonic attacks? Are they thwarting spiritual attacks? Is there some kind of a miraculous or divine intervention that helps me in my time of need? How exactly God does this, I don't know. But there is a story about angels from 2 Kings that I think is very applicable to right now. And I'm going to paraphrase the beginning of this story. If you would like to read the whole story, 2 Kings chapter 6, I would encourage you to read that. But right now I'm going to paraphrase. So in 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria was at war once again with the king of Israel. So the king of Syria is at war with Israel. And if you know anything about Israel, Israel was a nation that did not always follow after God. The northern kingdom of Israel actually never had a king who followed after God. So they were a nation that was at best indifferent to the Lord. But it says here that the king of Syria, he was at war with Israel. And the king of Syria is upset because everything that he tries, all of his battle schemes are thwarted, and he doesn't know why. It's as if the king of Israel knows what he's going to do before he does it. So one of his men says to him, hey, you know what it is? It's that prophet Elisha. It's that guy's fault. He's a servant of God, and he knows what you're going to do, and he's telling the king, he's the reason why we're losing. So the king of Syria has a great idea. I'm going to go capture Elisha. See, if I capture Elisha, he can't tell the king, I'm going to start winning. And so in the night, it says that he surrounds the town that Elisha's in. And Elisha's servant hears this. In the night, he's woken up early in the morning to the sound of horses, and he is very afraid. But Elisha says this. He says, do not be afraid. This is 2 Kings 6:16. Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses, and the chariots of fire were all around Elisha. Even though we couldn't see the divine protection, that did not mean it was not there. Elisha here understood that God was protecting him and protected him in this situation as well. We continue reading on, and it says, and on their hands, this is the angels, they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Do you recognize who quotes this in the New Testament? I'll read it again so you can hear it again. On their hands they shall bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Do you recognize the quote from the New Testament? The devil quotes this, both in Matthew 4 and in Luke 4. When he's tempting Jesus, he says, throw yourself off the temple. The angels, they will catch you, lest your foot strike a stone. Jesus replies to him, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So we understand here that in this world we will have trial and tribulation, we will have difficulties and struggles. Things will not always go our way. That does not mean we go out of our way to make sure that things are challenging or we put ourselves in dangerous situations recklessly. But we recognize that in those difficult situations that God is still there and still in control. It says you will tread on the lion and the antler being a viper, the young lion and the serpent, you will trample them both underfoot. So we understand that with personal faith in the Lord comes the reassurance that God is always with us. We have the reassurance that God not only is with us, but he cares for us, that he has commanded his angels to watch over us. And we finish off in our passage here in verse 14. It says, before we get there, I want to point this out. Recognize the shift of view. It went from a third-person viewpoint to a first-person viewpoint. This is now of the Lord speaking. Behold, he holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls on me, I shall answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. This verse, as I said before, it shifts from the psalmist to the perspective of God. God giving these promises. God giving these promises of deliverance, promises of protection, promises that when you cry out to the Lord in prayer, that he will hear you, that he will rescue us. This idea of honoring also has the idea that when you are heavy laden and burdened, that God will be there with you. And the last verse says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This does not mean that you shall live a long life, but if you get to the end of your life, as you advance in years, you can look back upon your life and see how the Lord has done these things for you. The older I get, the more I can look back on my life and recognize that God has led me to where I'm at. He has guarded me all the way here. He continues to lead me in life. As you age, I would encourage you to do that as well, to take time looking back at what the Lord has done for you. Because we understand here, we have a need for a personal faith in God. Psalm 91 makes that very clear. In Psalm 90, they had faith. But Psalm 90, once again, was all about a nation that had walked away from God. Psalm 91 is the complete opposite of that. It is a psalm written to those who are faithfully seeking after the Lord, attempting to dwell and abide with him. I want to encourage you this morning to make sure you have the Lord as your personal Savior. I want you to understand that the Lord cares for you in the same way that the eagle protects its children. The Lord is protecting you. The result of this protection is peace in your life. We have a life that we can rely on the Lord for our provision. So do you know the Lord today? Do you understand? Have you grasped that He loves you, that He took the form of man, that He came down, bore your sins upon the cross to die for us so that we may have a relationship with Him? If you do have that relationship this morning, I would like for you to encourage you right now as we pray to commit yourself to following after the Lord, asking Him to continue to lead you and guide you. If you have not made that decision today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I am planning on staying up here after the service. I would like to speak with you about what it means to follow after God and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, would you please bow your heads, pray with me. And gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, I do thank you once again for this morning, for the ability to gather together as the ecclesia, as the body of Christ, coming together for worship and for fellowship, for breaking of bread and for prayer. Father, I would ask that as we prepare to go from this place, Father, that we would recognize the provision that you have given us, that you have been with us in the times of struggle and difficulty, that you have never left us, you have never abandoned us or forsaken us. Father, we commit ourselves to your work, to your will, to following after you. We recognize, Lord, that there are those who would seek to draw us away. I pray, Lord, that you would protect us from those people, from those influences. Father, that we would seek to know you better, that we would be daily in your word, drawing closer to you through prayer and meditation, that we could have a personal relationship with you. For apart from that, Father, there's only death. Bless us, Lord, in this time, in this place, as we leave from here, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please rise for one closing song?
Thank you, we praise you. Keep us safe as we leave from here. In your name I pray. Amen. Have a great week. Join us Wednesday night for a verse-by-verse service.